Going well. Ari, do you hear Chris?
Good evening. We'll be starting shortly. Started yet. Hello, Ito. Wait. She's hiding. She was going to leave and she'll be back later as we start the class. But I'm still, there's somebody I need to add to the class, but every time I call them, they're talking together and they're busy, so. We hear you fine, Ito. I hear you fine. Okay. Ito is the one who was having problems with that. So give me a second to communicate with him by chat. Ito, do you hear me? Evaristo. Okay. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir Tzevura, Alephet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagdenu, Aharenu Noah Kufre Shayim Sintet Nun. I forgot to do the ayin and the bet with the first verse. The ayin that created the constellation Capricorn. and the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together they have a gematria of 72 and connect us to the 72 names of God. The Tiferet verse. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivava Shamlem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shem Barchem Tafarem Rachame Sidkatcha Tami Gamlem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shem and then Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimelamet Pei Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yutav. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm reading from the Parashah of Truma, section 94. Happy are you, O land, when your king is a free man. Verse 905. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu konenehu. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'kila amina. Demilu lo di shlomo, malka de kulhu, the go, hechla, kadisha havo, the haidi amritu, kola shapir, ava velid rasha, udiata. Aval haikira. Ve'ela ve'hekala kardishihu. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, did I not say that the words of King Solomon are all inside the sanctuary of the king? What you said is all well, and it required for an argument to be based upon it. But this verse is above, in the supernal sanctuary, which is Malchut. Since I haven't read the rest of this section, I think it's really just the verses speaking of the concept that there is nothing new under the sun. But there is something new over the sun. You know the famous verse, there's nothing new under the sun, but what does that really mean? The sun is represented in the tree of life by Tiferet. So that means that there are new things in the Sephirot above Tiferet. Chesed and Gevura, and of course, Keter, Chochma, and Bina. So we all hear this famous verse, there's nothing new under the sun. But there really is the potential to reveal new things. Things that have never been revealed before. Excuse me a second. There's some dogs barking in the background, so I'm going to just close the door. Okay. The Are there any questions before we start the class? The class, the handout for the class is located at www.yeshem.com/sy19.htm. And I'm going to start out reading. And Bacha, if you have your, if you have it open, so I'll call you on when that when we get there.
Okay.
This class and chapter 3 of the Sefer Yetzirah is dealing with three constructs of reality. And all of these constructs of reality is dealing with the level of Keter. In chapter 1, we referred to the Sefer Yetzirah and the three phrases, Sefer, Sefar, and Sipur. And we translated those three words differently than Rabbi Kaplan did. We translate these three words as the book, the story, and the storyteller. Now we are adding to this metaphor in chapter 3 the three mothers. Just as there is the book, the story, and the storyteller, we have the three mother letters. But the mother letters are not letters only. They're energy, they're metaphors. So we refer to an aleph, and we think we're talking about the letter aleph that we're used to speaking about, that we're used to seeing on the printed page. And that's not what's being spoken about here. The same thing applies to the mem. We are talking about energies that created the columns. We have the mem that created the right column. We have the shin that created the left column. And we have the aleph that created the central column. What is the idea of the right column? The idea of sharing. What is the idea of the left column? The idea of receiving. And what is the idea of the center column? It's the idea of the balance between the two. Can something receive and share at the same moments? It's a rhetorical question, but it's very meaningful. And it's something that you're going to need to discover for yourself, as all of the Sefer Yetzirah is about experience. You need to experience what you need to experience. And every person's experience will be different than another person's experience. Now, built into this section is a handout, which I will get to eventually. The handout is very meaningful in the way it correlates different words and different concepts. But please don't make the mistake of using and thinking those words are the normal words. If we understand the word grass, what am I talking about when I speak of grass? Am I talking about something called ground cover? Am I talking about something called a growing plant? Am I talking about, what is the word grass? In the language of branches in Kabbalah, We use physical items. We use the words that we all know as everyday items. But we are not talking about everyday items. We are talking about the root of everyday items. We're talking about the spiritual consciousness of that everyday item. So when I say grass, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about that green blade that I can walk out the back door here and pick. What does grass represent spiritually, metaphorically? All of those different levels is meant by the word grass when a Mekubal, when a Kabbalist speaks of that word. And that's what we're talking about. And I'm stressing so that you'll realize that when I use the words, I'm dealing with it. Okay, I'm continuing to read. We learn in modern science that the place of electrons, the place of subatomic particles in the level of quantum consciousness, or what's called quantum consciousness, that these particles exist in potential until such time that they become focused upon by man. And then they take the form as an actual experience rather than the potential. This is the modern quantum theory. It says you cannot measure the location of a particle and its speed at the same moment. But the theory of relativity from Kabbalah goes much more than that. The item doesn't manifest in actual fact in the physical world unless there is some human being that takes note of it on a consciousness level. This is the teachings of Kabbalah, and yes, Joe. We all have been taught from modern science that quantum theory, modern physics says, I cannot measure the location of a particle and its speed at the same moment. But we cannot The Kabbalah takes this concept even further. It says that the particle doesn't exist in the physical world until someone starts to measure it, until someone starts to think about it, until someone takes note of it. The consciousness of a human being is what creates the particle being in an actual place, doing an actual speed. If nobody takes note of it, that particle is still there, but only in potential. It's not measurable. It only becomes measurable because the person has taken note of it, has informed his consciousness that it's there. It's only hard to understand if you're trying to understand it logically, because it doesn't make logical sense. You can just accept my word, but we have a rule in the class, never believe a word I say. So what is it really saying? It's the idea and understanding. Modern science teaches this now. The subatomic particle doesn't come into manifestation until somebody notices it. It's the question we asked last week. Does the tree fall in the forest if there's nobody there to hear it? And the answer that science gives is no. The tree is still standing until somebody walks up and trips over it. Then it fell, and it only fell at that moment. It didn't fall earlier, and it doesn't make logical sense, but it is the way the universe works. So my teacher is asking the question, do you need clay to make a golem? Do you need a body to be you? When you meet an entity in your mind, is that entity real? All of these questions seem silly, but they're very important in your own transformation to be able to use the Sefer Yetzirah and to be able to use the tools of Kabbalah to change our physical world. We know the story of the golem is that you take a clay, you take sand or mud, and you form a body. You make a shape of a man. Or if you want to make a maid, you shape it as a woman. And then you inject the consciousness of a soul into that clay. How do you do that? We explained that in Chapter 2. We also said, until you've cleansed yourself sufficiently, it won't work. But practice it, because the practicing is the cleansing. So do we really need the clay? And the answer, according to my teacher, is no. But you do need the strength of consciousness to replace the clay, and it's easier to use the clay. The human being has the power of mind to manipulate subatomic particles. What am I talking about? Can you make gold out of clay? Can you make gold out of silver? Gold out of lead? We've all heard the stories called the alchemy, the stories that this is possible. And everybody shakes their head and throws up their hands, and of course it's not possible. We can't change the world. Lead is lead and gold is gold, and they never should change. They're never going to meet. But the most rational Jewish sage, the Rambam, Rabbi Maimonides, he teaches that the sun has a soul. And that soul is the corrected soul of a human being that was living before Adam. And that soul corrected itself and learned how to manipulate subatomic particles. And that soul learned how to create fusion And that soul was given the task of creating the sun and the energy of the sun. Are you capable of creating that same fusion energy? The answer is every human being is capable of it. But you have to practice it. And you have to practice it in a way that the universe is set up so you don't destroy the universe. Well, the system is set up that there are protection shields. You don't have to worry about destroying it. But you do have to practice it.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Ito. Go ahead.
Okay, so a question. There is a man known in India, Yamaba.
Correct. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you can do it too. When you learn these techniques, you can do it. Number one, you have to be certain that you can do it. That's the first step. So then the question is, how do I become certain of doing it? Do I have to see it in order for it to be real? Do I have to hold it in my hand? Or can I think about it? Can I see it in my mind's eye? And from my mind's eye, manifested in the physical world. These things that you're talking about in India have been known to the sages for generations, for 4,000, 5,000 years. That's what the Sefer Yetzirah is teaching. But of course, which kind of person are you? Do you have to see it in order to believe it? Or do you have to believe it in order to see it?
I am just a receiver.
Baruch Hashem. In order to receive it means you have to measure it, right? Not true. In the chart that I'm going to get to, you're going to see relationships between Sephirot, between letters, between time, between space. You're going to see relationships. The more you learn about these relationships, it makes it easier to transform between the relationships, which is the idea of turning lead into gold, of turning air into money, to be turning unhappiness into happiness. Every human being has this power, but it takes practice. Once you learn the relationships, you will want to make this kind of thing happen. Will it happen right away? And the answer is no. But the reason why it won't happen, the religious people will tell you, because you're not holy enough. And it has nothing to do with how holy you are. What it has to do with is, can you focus your mind? Can you focus sufficiently to change the subatomic particles? The purpose of the mitzvot is to teach you how to focus your mind. When you practice by doing the mitzvot, you reach a level of consciousness that allows you to have a stronger focus. And as that focus gets stronger, you're able to change the subatomic levels. Is there another way other than doing the mitzvot? And according to the answer my teacher gave me to that question, to his knowledge, and obviously to my knowledge, no, there is only the way of mitzvot that will give you the cleansing, that will give you the focus of mind to achieve this level of consciousness. Without mitzvot, you can meet earth spirits. You can connect with entities, but these entities are not very high in the spiritual order. That's why they're called earth spirits. They live in the earth. They live in our level. But that's not the level that Hashem wants us to be playing with. He wants us to grow out of this sandbox called earth and grow to the higher levels. The handout. We start at the higher levels. We start at the level of heaven, which is formed and created from fire, which is formed and created from shin, which is formed and created from the level of consciousness called bina. This is our conscious mind. This is a level of consciousness referred to as spiritual or mental. This is the place where mind controls matter. This, in Kabbalah, this is called the root level. We now have the middle level. We have sky, which is created out of air, which the Hebrew word is rakia. Firmaments. On day two, the upper waters were separated from the lower waters with a rakia, a firmament, which is also the word for air, which was recreated out of the Aleph, which was created out of the Sefirot, Dat, Tiferet, and Yesod. In psychological terms, this is our heart, the seat of our emotions. This is the level of consciousness referred to as astral, or the emotional dimensions. Earth spirits don't live in the astral world, they live in the lower world. We want to grow past the earth spirits and reach the astral plane. The third level, the lower level, is that of the earth, which was formed from water, which was formed from the mem, which was formed from chachma. In psychological terms, this is the unconscious mind. This is not the physical world. It's a level of consciousness called Malchut. But the physical world is even lower than that. When you look at these relationships that I just read out, they don't make sense. Because Chachma is higher than Bina, but Chachma is the earth. How do we understand this? It will come to you. as you experience these tools, you will come to understand that the higher you go, the lower you go. You will come to understand that if you look at an onion and you peel the onion, you take a peel off the top, you're taking the peel off the top of the onion and also off the bottom of the onion. You're taking it off the top, highest level, and the lowest level at the same instant. We have a conscious mind and we have an unconscious mind. And our job is to unify the two. And that can only be done with emotions at the level of passion, at the astral level. We will be dealing with the level, the idea of the Shogavim, starting next Saturday night. My email that you'll receive then will talk about this period of time. It's a period of tshuva. It's a period of change. You'll get much more about it in that email. In the book of Kings, or it may be the book of Samuel, I forget which one it is, there is the story of Eliyahu Hanavi bringing rain. The story is that he prayed for rain. And then he sent his assistant Elisha out to look for the rain. And he said to Elisha, "Tell me what you see." And Elisha came back and said, "I don't see anything." So Eliyahu went back and prayed again another time. And he sent Elisha out and said, "What do you see?" And Elisha came back and said, "I see clouds off in the distance." And Eliyahu prayed again for rain. And when he went out, he sent Elisha out. Elisha came back and said, "The clouds are coming closer and they're getting darker." And Eliyahu prayed again for rain. And he sent Elisha out and Elisha came back and said, "The clouds are very close and they're very dark." And Eliyahu prayed again for rain. And he sent Elisha out, and Elisha came back and said, "It's raining." What is this story in the Talmud, not in the Talmud, in the book of Navis, in the prophets? It's, what is it all about? It's not talking about rain. It's talking about rain, but it's talking about other things as well. It's saying there's a process to change physical matter. There's a story in the Talmud about a man by the name of Choni, who was also asked to bring rain. And Choni goes up on top of the mountain and draws a circle around himself. And he says out loud, "God, it's Choni. I'm standing here in this circle and I'm not going to leave till you send rain." Sounds like a little chutzpahdik, doesn't it? And Choni says to God, "God, I told you I'm not leaving the circle till you send rain. And I'm thirsty, God. Where is the rain?" And it starts to rain cats and dogs. And Choni crosses his arms, He looks up at the heavens and he said, God, I said rain, I didn't say storm. It's too strong. Make it weaker. And the rain turned gentle. And Phony left the circle. What are we learning from this? We're learning control of physicality. We're learning process. We're learning capability. Why am I spending so much time tonight talking about this? It's not that I'm wasting time, God forbid. It's not that I am talking about nothingness, God forbid. In chapter 1 of the Sefer Yetzirah, we brought you 3 concepts. The idea of space, or olam, shana, and nefesh. Olam is the world, the 3 dimensions of the physical world. Shana is time. And yet, Einstein tells us that time and space are unified. There's a correlation. And nefesh is the spiritual level, is the level of mind. So we have physical space, we have time, and we have mind. 3 levels. What do you need to create a golem? You need your mind. You need time. And you need physicality. You need space. You need consciousness. You need process. And you need physicality. Can you do mind over matter in an instant? Only it appears as the instant. Because the process is being done in another dimension. Space and time are ruled by mind. You can travel anywhere in space-time using your mind, can't you? We've all have done it. We all have meditated. We've all gone places. This morning, I went to Israel. I had to get back here in time, so I didn't stay long. Just long enough to lay my tefillin. Somebody would walk into my apartment, they'd see me laying tefillin, they'd think I was in Arizona. But my mind was in Israel. So where was my body? Here's another example, a practical example of how to strengthen your passion. Other than the examples I've given you of practicing the gates, go to your special place. Be in your special place. Now bring your place of work into your special place. Bring your coworkers into your special place, along with your place of work. What are your coworkers doing? Visualize what they're doing. Manifest them in your space, in your place. Visualize them being more productive. Feel the emotion that your place brings to you. feel that emotion of that place and bring it into your place of work. Feel that emotion that comes from your special place and place it into your coworkers. Manifest all of this wonderful, serene energy into your life in the physical world. Now experience that when you go to work. And send me an email at the end of your workday. How did it work? Were you able to do it? Did you lose mind focus? Were you able to stay focused? When it started to happen in the normal day-to-day cycle, were you able to maintain the focus of being in your place? Try it again the next day. Practice makes perfect. Bacha, would you read Mishnah 3.2? Chapter 3.
The Shalosh Amot Amesh Baolam Ruach Umayim Ba'esh Umehem Nolzu Abot Samehem Ibra Hakol.
The translation is, and three mothers, Aleph, Mem, and Shin, in our worlds, spirit, water, fire. What are they? They bring forth the fathers. From them, everything is created. The three mothers are libido or passion, the conscious mind, and the unconscious mind. Look at the world. Look at all of our technology. It comes forth from a curious mind and a creative mind. And all of this curiosity and creativity is powered by emotion, by libido, by our sexual and creative energies, by desire of the male for the female, from desire of the female for the male. We have great technology. We have air conditioning, so we don't have to live in 100-degree weather. Where did air conditioning come from? Somebody got the idea to create air conditioning? It comes from the drive, from the passion to make it happen. In a capitalistic system, that drive is taught to be powered by money, but it isn't. Money is a manifestation of a different energy. Passion is a manifestation of our emotions. Where did air conditioning come from? Where did the technology come from? From somebody who had the desire and powered his desire with passion. Technological development is part of the world's tikkun. The resurrection of the dead will come through technological development. The Mashiach will come through technological development. Mishnah 3.2 that Batya just read and I translated corresponds to the spiritual realm, to the conscious level. It's similar to Mishnah 3.1, but it's different. The spiritual realm is the astral plane. It's passion. It's emotion. Water is a non-construct form. Fire is a construct form. One is rigid, one is not. One takes the form of the container it's in. One has its own form, no matter what container you try and put it in. Start with the mind. Start with the container, with the level of consciousness that that takes on whatever form you create it in your mind. One second, let me finish. And then go through the ruach to get to the fire. Start with non-construct form, and then create the construct form. The three mothers give forth the three fathers. The three fathers are Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Rachmiel. The three fathers are the angels. The three fathers are Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. The three fathers are Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, above the sun. Yes, he took.
Well, this is in relation to the passion of sexual drive. If we lose the sexual drive, then we lose the passion, and then if we lose the passion, then we stop creating.
Absolutely not true. If you lose the passion, yes, you'll stop creating. But if you lose your sexual drive, there are many men in this world who don't get erections anymore. Have they lost their sexual drive? The answer I'm told is no. They haven't lost their sexual drive. They just lost the ability to form an erection. But it takes a different form. In our modern technology, it becomes a Poptivac or whatever that machine is. Or it becomes a little pink pill or yellow pill, whatever that is. I don't know. The passion is in the mind, not in the penis. We'll talk about it.
The emotion is so important.
Say again?
How come the emotion or the passion of the drive is so important for creation?
Because it is the middle place where the two parts of the mind can meet, where the unconscious and the conscious can find balance, only through passion, only through emotion. Emotion speaks both languages, rationality and what's the other one? Dream state. Both languages are spoken in the emotions. It's the only way to communicate between the two.
Okay.
But it takes the strength of passion to bring them together. Continuing. Never become confused by the physical representation of how the letters look. Even though I spend a lot of time in the Hebrew letter class on what the shapes teach us, they're metaphors. In this discussion, don't confuse yourself with the shape of the letters. When you're told to visualize the letters, when you're told to make the sound of the letters to open the gates, know that you're talking about the essence of the letters, not their physical shape. The handout says that the realm of mind gives rise to the realm of emotions and to then to the realm of the physical. Where is the heaven? Where is the world? Is the heaven surrounding the world, or the heaven parallel to the world? I'm asking you to visualize the tree of life. Is Zeron Pin in Malchut? Is Malchut below Zeron Pin? Is Malchut below Zeron Pin or parallel to Zeron Pin? What is going on? Which is which? Is the circle of the onion, is that outer flap of the onion, the outer leaf of the onion, is it above or below? You have to be flexible. You have to break out of your rigidity so that the passion can find their vessel. How are you limiting yourself? How are you making that happen? Bacha, would you read
3.3?
The three mothers, I'm translating, the three mothers, Aleph, Mem, and Shin of world, of space. Spirit, water, and fire. Heaven is formed from a weak fire. Land is formed from water. Air is formed from spirit. The construct is the arbitrator. What vessel, what shape does the vessel take? The arbitrator creates the vessel. How do I bring fire and water together? I put the water in a bowl, in a pot, and put it on the fire. And then I can make use of the heat to boil the water. But if I put them directly, if I take the water and pour it directly on the fire, I don't get anything useful. I either put the fire out, or the water becomes steam that I really can't use unless I capture it in another vessel and make a steam engine. That's what this verse is talking about. When you practice with the Emesh, when you open the gates, you're using the tetragrammaton to make the power.
No, I believe you.